welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune, and before Greg and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage.
Coach, let's take a quick look back at last week's 42-0 win against School of the Osage. Nice shutout win by the defense. Offense had some crisp plays. What did you like that you saw from film and review of that game?
I think all of our players were playing alignment, assignment, stance, start football. We spoke about that the first 2 weeks, and you know, the week two playing Lutheran North, when you're not on your alignment, your assignment, it ends up in a big play. Last week, we were able to keep the big play away, and everybody trusted each other. I think the biggest thing I saw in film was a team, and that's something that has me excited, because when you look at the overall structure of the rest of our season, our schedule, we're going to play some really good team football, and I felt like we had guys step up and play their assignments so much better than we did the week before.
And one of the takeaways I also had was I went back and looked, and for the past decade, Blair Oaks has not followed a loss with a second loss. They've always come back with a win every single time. Since 2018, when you came back, what do you attribute a lot of that to, with just the kids learning from that loss and making the adjustments the following week?
Well, I think when you're in a program as successful as ours has been, the expectation is to win everything, every week. And so when you lose, there's such a dark cloud that comes over. They want to get that dark cloud out of the way. They refocus. They really pay attention to the small little details. You try to do that after wins as a coach. You really try to do that. But you know, when you lose a game, it really helps you to refocus, to say, oh, these are the things that we really do need to do. And I reiterated what happened in 2020 when they got beat. The player said, no, not again. And it doesn't matter if we win, lose, or draw, we're going to get better every week. And I thought that was kind of the idea last week. So it's good to play on your tradition there a little bit, because they remember the 2020 team. Mm-hmm. And they know that, oh, okay, well, those guys did it, we can do it too. So they just, it's a good opportunity for the tradition to come through and say, hasn't been done in the past, so what do we got to do to fix it? And they're smart enough to know how to fix it.
And this week's opponent, California, what can you tell about what you've seen from them on film?
They've got two really good backs. They're dynamic. They've been playing, it seems like, forever now. I think both of them played as freshmen. They played last sophomores, and I think they were actually up 7-0 in that game 2 years ago, and that was when we were undefeated and won the state title. So they ran right down the field and marched down the field. Number two, I think, scored for them. Their quarterback, they got back last week. He's a very, very efficient quarterback out of the option, which makes it real interesting, because you better be on your landmarks. He's a guy that can pull it out, run, and pitch the ball. So they have the three components they want out of their quarterback doing that. They didn't have that the first 2 weeks. And then he's able to drop back and throw it. Defensively, they play a 3-3, and they are just attacking every snap. They come after it. Southern Boone scored on the first play of the game, and after that, it was a really, really tight football game. Way, way deep into the third quarter, they really attacked and made it a hard time on Southern Boone. So, you know, all areas, they play very, very fundamentally sound. They're very tough, and they're typical California. They're going to bring everything they got every play.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. Greg, I think we were looking for how, you know, the Falcons would respond last week. They responded just fine. 42-0 blanking of Osage is a really dominating effort against a team that is probably not as bad as the score indicates.
No, I mean, Osage looked really good the first 2 weeks, especially in the Moberly game. I mean, they really played air-free ball first 2 weeks. I mean, they made some mistakes, but they really didn't make many mistakes against Blair Oaks. They just, I mean, again, we're talking about a Blair Oaks team that gave up 58 points to Lutheran North. They're, I mean, anytime, you know as well as I do, anytime Blair Oaks loses, they get frustrated and take those frustrations
right
out on next week's opponents, which right is exactly what happened. I don't think Osage played a bad game. I think Blair Oaks just was really, really ready to get back on the field.
Yeah.
And play that one, and you know what? They just looked really good from the get-go. They got some stops, they got some touchdowns, and then were able to take advantage of a running clock in the second half. And Again, you know, just a typical Blair Oaks Tri-County Conference win.
Well, and what's even more amazing is you say it's a running clock win. They still got 78 offensive plays run in a game that had a running clock. That's amazing in a game that is tightly contested and both teams are getting plenty of shots at it. 78 with a running clock is a pretty ridiculous number of offensive plays to get in.
Yeah, I was going to say, Blair Oaks was pretty balanced. They had 30-plus run and pass plays each.
Yeah.
Just what did that was their ability to convert on late down situations. I mean, their third down conversion rate was not great, but when you're 7-7 on fourth down, and that doesn't include getting a first down when Osage jumps offside on fourth and two, and you know there was another fourth down situation where Blair Oaks attempted a 51-yard field goal in the final minutes of the game. I mean, when you can go 7-7 on fourth down, that's gonna really break the spirit of almost any defense you're gonna play. And I do think when Blair Oaks got enough of those in the first half, that really kind of frustrated Osage. I mean, the other difference was, you know, starting field position. You know, Blair Oaks, it always seemed like they were starting near midfield. Nolan Laughlin had, I think, three touchbacks, and so Osage, that's three starts at the 20, and then he pinned them inside the 20 on another one. So Osage had long fields and couldn't really move the ball. I remember one time Aiden Williams finally broke loose for a 10-plus yard run, and Blair Oaks forced a fumble right at the end and got a turnover there. So it was almost like any time Osage was about to do something good, it was very short-lived. And I still think Osage is a top-three team in the conference. I still think they have a shot to go, honestly, 7-2 at worst. I mean, they're just outside the top 10 in Class 4. I mean, are they as good as Lutheran North? Obviously not. But, I mean, you know, I could see them playing for a district title in week 12 against Hannibal, maybe. It just kind of depends on how that district unfolds.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break for an ad read. At Carpet Values, we offer the guaranteed lowest prices on all your flooring needs. And now, during our fall savings event, you can save even more. We are stocked full of carpet, vinyl plank, tile, laminates, rugs, and more. Don't miss out on these hot fall savings. Come see us at Carpet Values and take advantage of our guaranteed lowest prices. We're your low-price superstore at I-70 and Highway 54 in Kingdom City. Yeah, it's been a weird season so far for the Falcons. You look and you win by 49, lose by 30, win by 42. It's just been a very weird roller coaster these last couple weeks. So now I think we'll probably get a win streak going back again this week in terms of the Falcons have to refocus now for California. It's a 2-1 record for overall for the Falcons, 1-0 in the Tri-County. California comes in at 1-2 and 0-1. I think it's a California team that I think I'm not the only one that has some questions about this team where you go, okay, you look at them from last year and they do return some talent from it. But these first three games of the year have been very odd from the standpoint of you look and you go, okay, they lose 40-7 at Tipton in week one, then they win 14-0 at Fulton, and then they lose 40-0 at Southern Boone. So it's just like, I don't know what to make of any of those results taken with the other ones. You know, if you looked at one of the results, maybe it makes sense on its own, but then you factor it in with the other ones and you go, I don't know really what to make from this team just based on what the results have been so far this year.
I mean, you know, obviously from my perspective on the outside looking in, if I had to make any guesses on week one, it's that, you know, that you can make the argument that's a lose-lose for California if you...
You
beat Tipton, it's like, well, congratulations, they're Class 1, you're supposed to be in it if you lose. I mean, let's be honest, Tipton is tied for number 5 in Class 1.
Right.
I would argue Tipton was probably more amped up for that game because, I mean, they hadn't played in more than a couple of decades. Week 2, the Fulton result is the one that kind of had me wondering because you would think they probably would have won that one by 4 or 5 touchdowns because I'd have to go back and look. I can't remember the last time Fulton won a game. And... But that could also be attributed to California not having a starting quarterback for the first two weeks.
Sure.
If they have Chase Trimble in week two, maybe that is a bigger lopsided win.
Sure.
I'm agreeing with you on this one that the 40-0 loss to Southern Boone is probably the one that makes the most sense with Southern Boone being a top 5 team in Class 3.
Right.
And from the clips, I didn't watch the whole game, but from the clips I watched, the California's defense looked good on a lot of plays against Southern Boone.
Sure.
It's just, the big plays are going to come back to bite you every now and then.
Right.
And California just couldn't get anything going offensively. So, you know, one of the things Coach LePage was talking to me about, he's like, look, California looked better than what the final outcome said. Okay. Like, I get people are going to look at 40-0 and think, oh my goodness, they're not good this year. But he's like, they look good on a lot of plays. It's just to beat Southern Boone, you have to look good on every play.
Right, right. And I think that is going to be, you're right, I think that's going to be a team that puts up, you know, some big scores on people as the year goes on. But I think it's the zero that's worries me in that game, where you go, should have been able to get a score somewhere, you know, or two. You know, I'm not saying you're going to match them score for score, but I just feel like, you know, you guys have, you know, you've got enough talent where I think that it's not like a couple years ago when California was in the midst of that long losing skid that they had, that kind of spanned two seasons, where you're like, they just don't have the horses, or this is just a down talent cycle. I feel like they've still got enough people on this team that they should be able to at least make that score a little more competitive than it was.
Yeah, I was going to say, they've got a nice running back duo with Brooks Volkart and Tyler Oden, and one of the things I thought was funny was when I was talking to Coach LePage, he remembers very distinctly 2 years ago in the game at California that Blurrocks fell behind 7-0, and it was Volkart who had the touchdown run that gave California lead. He's like, look, that was the year we went undefeated and won the state title, and we were behind 7-0 late in the first quarter against California, so we're definitely not taking them lightly.
Right.
He's aware, like, again, it could be, for all we know, it could be very deceiving, the results from the first 3 weeks. And California could be, I mean, this is going to be their home opener. They were on the road for the first 3 weeks. Yeah. So they could, sure. I mean, obviously when it's your home opener and you're playing the number one team in the state, you're going to get amped up. So I'll be curious to see how California comes out in the first half. You know, I agree with you, though. I mean, just having two offensive touchdowns through 3 weeks just does not seem like the typical California we've seen the last few years. Right. I know they lost three All-State players, and a couple of them were, you know, big-time skill players on offense, but they also had three All-Conference kids at five spots coming back, and, I mean, you know, it was Oden and Volkart were both All-Conference on both sides of the ball, so I'll be curious. I mean, again, the outcome may not end up being great for California this week. So for me, it's like, okay, will we see them get the ball rolling in week five? Will it take until week six or week seven? Because there are going to be some winnable games in the conference schedule for California.
Yeah, I think the bad news for them is that I don't think this is the week you even come close to starting with
Southern Boone and Blair Oaks. Right. Very tough.
This was not the portion of your schedule where you go, okay, maybe we have a couple early hiccups and then we get ourselves corrected. That's going to have to wait till at least next week. I don't think that's coming this week. So I think the big question is just a matter of how much does Blair Oaks pour it on in this one, and does it end up being a shutout? I think, because again, if you're going to get shut out last week, this could be two straight shutouts, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if that happens.
And it was a 69-0 game last year at the Falcon Athletic Complex.
Right. So I guess the big thing then is just, we're at that, you know, we like to chop the regular season up into thirds. Yeah. Here we go. So we've got that first third another way. I guess just big picture, you know, coming out of it, I don't think anybody's surprised. You know, it would have been nice to be 3-0. Yeah. I don't think that was probably a totally reasonable expectation. Mm-hmm. So I think if you come out of a 2-1, I think you go, okay, this is probably where we expected them to be, but how do we figure about in terms of just overall, how do you feel like Blair Oaks is in terms of how this first third went, in terms of how they want to be for the second third and the third third?
I think the biggest thing was defense, looking at how they bounced back. Because again, they have some starters back on defense, but they've got a lot of new starters on defense. So seeing them bounce back from the Lutheran North game to pitching a shutout against a good Osage team, I thought was a big step forward. The offense, again, you know, they kind of grinded it out. Wasn't a whole lot of big plays, even though they have the potential to make big plays. I still think they're kind of working some things out offensively, which sounds weird when they've scored, 61 points and 42 last week and 28 against Lutheran North. I know that sounds weird, but I still think that they haven't hit their stride offensively. Right. And they're still, you know, 6 weeks in the regular season to work all that out. So, you know, special teams, I think, is a lot better than people anticipate, especially, you know, when you get a bump up in the return game with adding a Dabkus and Nolan Laughlin really kind of forcing teams to start on their 20 instead of getting some long returns to start at the 40. So, To me, I think you have to like what you see from defense, like what you see from special teams. Honestly, I like what I've seen from offense, but I still don't think they've hit their stride.
Yeah, I think it's, you don't want to be overly critical of a team that's obviously doing what they're doing. I just think the oddness is, if you look at it from the standpoint of just, you never want to say, it's a bad thing that an offense ran 78 offensive plays. But I think we haven't seen that over the years from Blair Oaks, because it's been at some point in those plays leading up to the point where you might go over 40 or 50. You've gotten so many big plays that you don't get to run 78 plays. So if your one criticism is going to be we're running too many offensive plays because they're not explosive enough, well, you're still running plenty of offensive plays that are keeping the ball in your hands and keeping it away from the opponent.
And I think the thing that's also promising for Blair Oaks was we saw the offensive line play really step up against Osage. That's a lot, asking a lot for an offensive line to be out in the field for 78 plays. Right. And they did a lot of running between the tackles. Hayden Lackman had a touchdown run where it was 4th and 1 at the 26. The offensive line was able to block well enough for him to get that first couple of yards to get the first down, and then they created a hole for him to run through and go in untouched after that for the touchdown run. So I think if the offensive line play continues to improve like this, I think that you've got the playmakers for sure. I mean, they haven't quite hit their stride yet, but I think with the offensive line taking a step forward last week, that has to be very promising heading into the final two-thirds of the regular season.
I guess it's also at this point of the season where we like to go, okay, how are they in terms of overall health, and how do we get through these first opening salvo of games?
Hayden Lackman got a little shaken up on a carry in the second half that got him over 100 yards for the game. He had a great game last week, by the way, 4 rushing touchdowns. And I remember that was one of the things you and I talked about the week before, like, hey, he was held to 30 yards on 15 carries the first 2 weeks. Is this going to be when we see him break out? And we did. Again, he got shaken up on that last run. They're going to hold him out this week. I think he could play, but better to just give him an extra week of rest.
Sure.
Carson Versalice is going to start at running back in his place. And also, I'll be curious to see if Brady Dapkus also gets a few more touches. I mean, he had a lot of touches in week 2 against Lutheran North. Didn't get as many touches last week so that Hayden could get some more looks in the backfield. So Carson Versalice looked good in the fourth quarter when he came in and ran the ball. So I don't think there's going to be any issues with the run game. Jay Chouinard also got injured last week, had a knee injury. He'll miss this week, and Dylan Cleveland will start in his place at linebacker. Other than that, if I remember, I think Bryson Varner left the game in the fourth quarter, but he's fine. He'll start. That's another All-State defensive lineman that has had a good start for Blair Oaks. So really, I mean, any other team, a couple of players here and there, that's not a big deal. I mean, as we're seeing in the NFL, it seems like everybody's getting hurt left and right. So right. Blair Oaks just having a couple players out, I think they'll be fine. And honestly, having this game with a week of rest will be good for those two.
All right. I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast. Who comes out on top tonight?
Oh, Blair Oaks comes out on top.
I figured you'd say that.
I'll be curious to see if it's a shutout. I really do think the defense has a shot to do it. It wouldn't surprise me if, like we saw Volkart break loose for a 65-yard touchdown run against Tipton to start second half. There may be a play like that, and California might get one touchdown, maybe two. But I think Blair Oaks wins this one going away. I'll say 56-7.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action JAXON05. Thanks for listening.